Welcome everybody to The Deep. This is a new podcast that James McMillan and I are doing where we're going to delve deep into different topics around consciousness and spirituality and what it means to be human and trying to find our way in this world. So I'm really excited. Today is the first episode, and we're talking all things Jesus. So, most definitely, that presence or that energy is here. So, we're going to talk about what Jesus means to both of us. We're going to talk about how he came through for us in many different ways. And we're also going to talk about what it means to be connected to Jesus. So, thank you very much, James, for being here. Do you want to give yourself a little introduction for those who don't know you?
Sure, yeah. Thanks for having me, Nicole. And sounds pretty official, but
Weren't expecting that.
I got into it and I was like, whoa, this is real. This is like this. I loved it.
I was going to say that until I said it either. Don't worry.
I know you're a pro. That's really good. I loved it. Yeah, hi everybody. I'm James McMillan. I'm coming from just north of Byron Bay in Brunswick Heads. And yeah, I live up here. I surf. I'm an artist and I do some energetic healing work. And yeah, and
Jesus is your homeboy.
this is definitely my homie for sure. And it has been for a long time in different ways, you know, and at different levels, but coming on stronger and stronger all the time. I think he, you know, you've got to be prepared for the different levels of like downloads and stuff like that, which is coming on pretty strong in the last probably 2 years, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I feel I'll do a little introduction too for those who don't know me. Hello, everybody. I'm Nicole. A lot of people know me as Nicole Loving Earth, and I'm based down in Cronulla, so just south of Sydney. I teach consciousness, meditation, spirituality, energy healing, and I have students and clients across the world. I'm going to put both of our details down below for this podcast too. So if anything that we say resonates with you, or you want to find out more, or you want to connect with us directly, you can do that too. Or if you want to find out more of what we're about. So thank you, and thank you, James. I think we should just jump straight into it because I've got Jesus sitting here with us. So this often happens when I'm talking about a subject, the beings or the beings of light that are associated with that subject kind of come in and just sit with me. And maybe I should just explain what that means. It's almost like a transparent film. So like when you think of cartoons in the olden days where there was like a transparent film across, then you could take that off and put that back. It's kind of like they're sitting here through that transparency. So it's not like they're in full physical form. It's more like they're a transparent energy. But when I close my eyes, they're in full physical form. So the energy of Jesus, the first thing I want to say, and I want us both to jump into our story here, but the first thing I want to say, or the first thing he's asking me to say, is to separate your idea, and this may trigger people, this may open people, this may activate people, is to separate your idea of Jesus from religion. Okay, so just feel into the energy that's coming through our words or through what the context is of what we say, but separate your idea of Jesus from religion. Religion, or the texts that were written by men that we don't know what their state of being was. We don't know what their state of emotion was at the time of writing. And so to feel the love of Jesus is that pure divine love that you experience, that James and I talk about, that we've done workshops on. And it really is a pure loving energy, free from judgment, free from shame, free from any kind of feelings of distortion or disturbance in regards to exactly who you are. James, what's the experience of Jesus' energy for you in regards to like what I just spoke about? Like, do you agree with what I said, or do you have like a different opinion, or yeah, what's coming through for you?
No, I'm on this, a very similar page with you in that. And when I did a meditation this morning and, just connecting with Jesus and, talking to him about what I should say today and what the best thing to communicate and all that sort of stuff, I just remembered a recent conversation I'm having with an old friend from Cronulla that I grew up with. And he's recently, I guess, I don't know if the term still gets used, he's a born again Christian, I guess you'd call it. And he's been recently talking to me. Every time I do a post on Instagram about something spiritual, he comes at me and says, "But are you a Christian, James? Like, and do you know what the first commandment is? And do you believe in the Bible?" And like, always hit me with questions, This has been ongoing for about 6 months. And that's been fine, and I've been answering his questions and stuff like that. But I just had to tell him the other day that, look, where you're at now, I was probably at 20 years ago, and my journey with Jesus has been very long, probably 40 years. And I respect and appreciate where you're at, but my experience with Jesus is not like yours. So that's is that okay? Is that okay with you? Because like, I guess I experienced Jesus outside of religion for sure. And this morning when I was in the meditation, Jesus reminded me that the Bible was written by man. And if there's a chance for man to be a tiny bit corrupt or a tiny bit, whatever, depends what his means are, his end means are, like that might happen, And I do believe what's in the Bible, but there's some things in there that don't resonate 100% with me either, And yeah, so I kind of agree with what you're saying, and I'm on a similar page too. But yeah, so my Jesus story, yeah, started a long time ago, I guess, when I started going to a little Catholic school. And that was my first introduction. There were statues everywhere of Jesus and Mary and being born in the manger with the animals around and three wise men and all that sort of stuff. And it was really impactful, especially a bit later on when I was in primary school, I became an altar boy, and I used to wear like a big long red dress thing, and like a white thing on top. And I was the guy that walked out with the gold cross, It was like the bell would ring and then I'd have to walk out with the cross and like go across the altar and stand there next to the priest. And there was all these moves you had to do at certain times when the bells ring or when the priest did this or that or whatever. And it was pretty hard actually to get it right. And I made lots of mistakes, but I don't think it mattered in the end. And yeah, that was my kind of introduction, I guess, to Jesus and that whole world, And I guess through school, it just sort of sat in the back of, in the background of everything. And then in high school, it was always still there. And, when I was in my sort of mid-teens, I guess, going to high school and, we'll go to church stoned, and that was, we didn't, I didn't know, whatever. I was just being a stupid kid. I was from a broken home, and that was one of the things we did, not go to church stoned, but dabbling smoking weed and stuff like that. And yeah, so that went all the way through to year 10, I guess, when I left school. And it was always just a religious thing, I had my Bible, and my mum was into Jesus, my grandmother was into Jesus, and my sister was, and my whole family was, really, in a Catholic way, So it was a really cool introduction, and I guess it was a formal, theoretical introduction, maybe not a spiritual one, I wouldn't say, and probably not experiential at that stage.
Yeah, it's interesting because it's letting me reflect on how Jesus was for me growing up, right? So before I had the experience of his like divine energy. So the same, well, different for me, I was raised Greek Orthodox and we were pretty laissez-faire with religion. So it was like Christmas or Easter, or, you know, there's always a big pomp and ceremony, of course, christenings or weddings or funerals. And I think I wasn't raised in a religious household, most definitely not. But I still loved going to church. Like, I loved it because Greek Orthodox churches are so like ridiculous. You know, it's the color, it's like the smells of the incense. It was like the chanting, like all of this would like awaken something within me, even though pretty much every scripture and everything that was spoken was like 100% Greek. So I would only, and because it was all chanted, everything was like extended. So it was kind of like nothing that I ever completely understood the words, but I understood the feeling that it ignited within me. And like the artwork that is in a Greek church is like ostentatious, you know, it's like all big gold artifacts and gold framing and these like vibrant colors. And so for me, even as a child, I loved being in church. I would always want to sit up the front. I'd always want to be a part of it. I'd always want to be like the first to receive communion. You know, it was kind of like this exciting thing for me. And then of course, like in my teenage years, I didn't go to a Catholic school, definitely not, but in my teenage years, I did everything I could to get out of anything. I never did scripture. I'd, you know, wag or skive off or jig that subject or get mum to write a note saying that we were atheists. And even into my 20s, I remember I used to wear, I had this like candy pink rosary beads, plastic rosary beads that I picked up at some op shop, and I'd wear that like as a as a necklace, these rosary beads. I wore them everywhere, but they were like baby pink. And I had no connection to religion. No way. If this version of me would say to my 20-year-old self, hey, by the way, you're gonna have like this amazing connection with God and Jesus and, you know, Mother Mary and Mary Magdalene and all of these religious figures, I would have scoffed. I would have gone, no way. So it's interesting to me now how much a part of my life they are now, but exactly what you're saying, separate from the theology so much, or it's a feeling for me. It's a connection. It's like a relationship for me rather than a text that I follow. So
yeah,
so I know you've kind of come, I'm wondering now, like, well, is there anything that you want to add into what I just said before?
No, probably a lot of things. Like, I bring up a lot of things in me too, like especially the stuff about the church, because I actually loved walking into this. We had this big church in like this town I grew up in when I was a little kid, had this huge church called St. Joseph's, and it was probably like a Greek Orthodox church. It was huge and like awesome and just like almost chic, like had all the like all the windows around the side that were colored with like all the steps of Jesus walking towards the cross and dying on the cross, and the huge altar, the painted ceiling, like it was gorgeous. And I used to love walking into that building as well, and it really had an impact on me just looking around at all the things and wondering what this story was and like why is everything so like huge around this man, you know, around Jesus and his life. And, you know, when you were talking about it then, about like what you used to feel in the church and stuff like that, it really started welling up inside me, like all the imagery and all that sort of stuff that I was feeling there. And like, and I did love the ritual of it, of like, it was the same every time when you go to a Catholic church. It was the same thing, like the same 50 minutes would like pan out in the same way. And the only difference would be with the word that the priest gave on that day, what he would talk about from the Bible. And he'd like move from the altar to the pew, to give the word, and then back to the altar to like the body of Christ and take the bread and all that sort of stuff. That's very different from the church that I went to when I moved to Byron Bay, which is called New Earth Tribe. I'm going ahead a bit here, but I'll go back as well. But just to show you the difference of the churches, this one was like in a hall in the main street of Byron Bay. And when I first moved up here in the end of 2005, I'd just written a book, and my book was published, but I was also selling at the local markets. And I was a bit lost up here, you know. I was trying to find my place, trying to work out the culture and like, what is this up here? Because I'd been in Cronulla my whole life, which is very different to Byron Bay when you sort of live here and experience it. And I was living on a mountain up high behind Mullumbimby by myself in this like timber and glass cabin, which is what that's about, actually. That's what the painting behind me is about, actually. It's about where I used to live. And, yeah, and I'd come down, do the markets and do my things in town. Then I'd go back up to the mountain and I'd spend days there just painting and meditating. And, yeah, just I was by myself a lot. And after the markets one day, I came down through Byron Bay and I was driving this little crappy Subaru with all my market stuff in the back with mud all over my car, driving down just like trying to work out my place in this town. And I heard this music coming from up on my right-hand side from a balcony. And I parked my car and I looked up and I could just see some people through a window with their hands above their head like this. And I was like, wow, this sounds interesting. Something about the sound of the music was like resonating with me. I parked my car and I got out, went across the road, walked upstairs, and I looked through this door. I just followed the sound of the music to the room, and then there was this glass door. And when I looked inside, I saw about 100 people with their hands above their head, and they were all singing, you know? And I was like, what's going on in here? And that was all spread of people, from like little kids to like elderly people, heaps of sort of people, you know, from 20 to 50-year-olds. And there was like hippies and like well-dressed people, and like almost everyone had no shoes on. And I was like, whoa. And I just opened the door enough to get my head in there and have a look. No one looked at me because most people had their eyes closed and they were all singing about God and Jesus and stuff like that. And I was like, whoa, what's this? And I just didn't even worry about going back down and locking my car. I just like slipped in there and stood down the back, and the words were up on the screen and I started singing, and I ended up spending 2.5 hours there, and that became my church for the next 9 years. And the experience of that was so different to my experience, you know, in the actual church building, you know, back in my sort of really early, you know, younger years and early teen years. So, yeah, two very big differences about, you know, the experience of, you know, Jesus and the experience of, like, being with a group of people and worshipping God and that sort of thing. So, but back to like the teen years, when I was about 18, I went to a party in Cronulla, and I had my girlfriend and I had my first car, and we were into drinking and we were into drugs, and we went down to the party at, Barony Bay Road, down the very end, in a really nice house, and a lot of people there that I knew, and you know, we had a few drinks and we delved in some amphetamines and stuff like that, and yeah, we got pretty out of it, and I think this might have been before drink driving or maybe around the drink driving thing or whatever, but I think it was, you know, I just lived down the road, so I was like, oh, it'd be fine just to drive home. So at about 3 o'clock in the morning, when I thought it'd be fine to drive home, me and my girlfriend jumped in the car and had this beautiful old HP Premier with blue with a white roof, and we started heading down Barony Bay Road towards Carimbar. And apparently I was going pretty fast, and I leant down to change the tape the tape on my tape deck to put some music on. And as I looked down to change it, probably took a bit longer than I thought. By the time I looked up, I was on the footpath and my car was 80 kilometers an hour into a tree. And we hit the tree so hard that the seat ripped out of my car, like the full long bench seat where three people could sit, lifted out and pushed it through the windscreen and then brought us back into the car. And then we were like unconscious. And by the time we opened our eyes, there were some people standing around looking at the car, and I had blood on me and my girlfriend had blood on her. And she was on acid at the time, so she was really freaking out. But all I knew was that we had to get out of there. So I grabbed her and we just got the hell out of there and walked all the way to Caringbah Hospital. And anyway, we did the whole night there, got stitches and everything, went home. And I remember the next morning I woke up. Well, I didn't actually wake up, so I didn't sleep. But I mean, the sun rose and I was sleeping on the floor and my girlfriend was on my bed. And when I woke up that morning, when I sort of, you know, the sun rose and I kind of came to a bit, I guess, because I didn't sleep because of, I think, the drugs that were in my system. Jesus just kind of came to me, like, you know, in not in a spiritual form, but just came into my mind sort of thing, and pointed me to a church that was three doors up from where I lived in Croydon Street in Cronulla. And he just was kind of like, just go to that church. And I was in a really bad state. I had like my head was shaved because I had stitches on my head and I was still out of it. And my mum was like coming in the room worried what's going on, what happened. And I just said, look, I've just got to go up the road to church. And I went up there and I met, I went into the church. And that day during church, I met this guy called Peter Woods. He's from Cronulla. And don't know if I should say his name, or we can talk.
It's too late now.
But he's he ended up being a lifelong friend of mine. But he was he'd been a Christian his whole life, and he still is now. And that was a big turning point in my journey with Jesus, for sure. Like that day. There's a lot more after that, but let's hear from you.
Yeah, I feel like what you're saying there, like when you came to you and was like, get yourself to church. Jesus is a very loving energy for sure. And I want to kind of go into like our more spiritual experiences of it. But there are also times where I want to say he like almost reprimands, you know, or in his own very calm and loving way. I definitely feel like your experience there reminded me of, I've had accidents. I've had times where I had a motorbike accident at 12 by myself on a farm. I had a car accident. I was knocked unconscious with the motorbike accident and I didn't have a scratch on me, like never broken a bone, never like had multiple stitches or any kind of like serious injury. And it's so interesting to me because I've never really understood it. Why? It's not like I didn't push it. It's not like I didn't put myself in situations, like even that Burnie Bay Road, like that's why I was laughing when you said it, because I think I probably about the same time as this party that you're saying, or the same period of time, I mean, I rode down that hill on a bike that I didn't realize didn't have brakes, that exact hill. My girlfriend lived on the water at the end of that road, like not the end house, the one in on, and it would have been around the same time. And I rode down that hill not realizing I had the bike had no brakes, and she was on the back being doubled. And I just skidded out on that, you know how there's that side street. I rode down realizing there's no brakes, and so I tried to turn up the side street, like we were, you know, had a bit to drink, probably had a bit to smoke and everything else. And she broke bones and hurt herself, and all I had was grazes. And I mean, we would have been flying down that hill probably 50, 60, maybe 70 kilometers an hour. So that road, and if you're from this area, like I think everyone has a story about that road, how steep it is. And so it's kind of like that accident could have been so much more serious, and it wasn't.
Yeah.
You know?
You feel like Jesus or the Holy Spirit was around, kind of like getting
Exactly.
those things sometimes.
Yes, absolutely. I feel like even, and I want to come into like more of our modern day experience or like current experiences, but it's almost like one of the first times I connected with my guides and Jesus was there, I asked him, I was like, I got really shameful. I had a lot of shame because I realized like everything I'd put them through. I realized like that I must have kept them on their toes. And I was like, it's almost like the moment I started really conversing with Jesus, from my own choice, I was faced with everything that I'd done. Because it was like a mirror was being shown to me of someone saying, I've been there with you every step of the way. I've been there with you through every moment. I remember everything that you've ever done or said. And it's kind of like that feeling of like, oh God. Like literally, oh
Yeah. Everything of huge
like everything, like
sorry.
everything. And it's like that feeling what came through, like all he said was, yeah, you kept us busy for sure. You know, it's kind of like, oh God, you know, I'm sorry to the archangels and all the protection they had to put around me. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. So there was this like complete contrite energy of mine, like just for months, and he would like hold my face, Jesus would hold my face and be like, you're here now, like, you know. He doesn't ask for repentance. Like, he just asks you to acknowledge and move on, acknowledge and make the change, acknowledge and be different. Okay, you've seen what you did wrong here, be different now. You know, it's not like he's asking for punishment or some kind of detention, or, you know, you have to appease him in some way for him to accept you. He accepts the acceptance that you have of the situation that you've put yourself in.
Yeah.
Yeah, go.
Just one thing came up, you know, like one thing that's been on my mind lately and in this conversation with a friend of mine is, you know, Luke 17:21, when Jesus says, you know, behold, the kingdom is within you. You know, because the Pharisees saying, hey, when's God gonna come? When's the kingdom, you know, of heaven coming? And Jesus says, behold, the kingdom is within you. You know, and it's like, you know, Jesus knows the kingdom's within us, you know, and it's up to us like to bring that kingdom, to bring heaven to earth. The kingdom is within us, you know. So however you want to be in your life is the level you're going to be at in the kingdom, like in the kingdom of like the way you feel and the way other people feel your energy and what you can bring to other people in your energetic work and stuff like that, you know. And I know that I learned that, you know, the hard way and through the same way you did, you know, by being accepted time and time and time and time again and thinking, what is this? Like, why am I continually accepted? And why does Jesus keep coming back to me? Like, I thought I sinned like 100 times. Like, and I kept on sinning, you know, not in a crazy big way, but as far as the Ten Commandments go and stuff like that, yeah, I had sex before marriage and other things, you know, and stuff like that. And I'm like, but Jesus still came, you know. So it's yeah, I just wanted to throw that bit in there about, you know.
Yeah. No, it's good. It adds to it because the same thing comes through for me. It's like I think in the start of doing energy work and channeling and tapping into consciousness, I would get lost in it. I would be in it for like hours because I didn't want to come out, right? And I didn't want to come out of that experience or the energy of it, I would kind of be like, just so surrounded by love, so surrounded by acceptance, so surrounded by this divinity, this light, that I just, every time I came out of that like meditation, it would be, oh, this world is so sharp, it's so harsh, it's so hard, like I don't want to be here. And I truly, this was like, you know, a period of like 4 or 5 years ago, I truly understood suicide. Like I truly did. Because I was like, well, if you've experienced that and this world is so far from that, it's like, why wouldn't you, right? Yeah. So I had all of this compassion come around suicide. I got it. I understood it. I know it hurt, but I understood it, right? And I feel like that's been, that this is something I've said for a very long time, is like part of my role here is that experience, that experience that I have access to like on a daily or a moment to moment basis, that's my part of my role, is to bring that experience through so that people that come into contact with me, and I know James, you have this as well, it's like people that come into contact with me or they speak to me, it's not something I'm preaching to them, it's a feeling that they have when they're around me. And that is from that place of non-judgment, or that is from that place of unconditional love, or from that place of being seen or heard or being accepted, right? And that's how I feel like one of the ways that we bring heaven to earth is like through our energy and through others experiencing that feeling, that maybe they can't put it to words, maybe they can consciously understand it, it doesn't matter. The sun shines upon all, no matter your beliefs. So it's kind of like, all right, well, I can bring that experience of consciousness or God or Jesus through me and allow others to experience it, no matter what their religious beliefs are or their leanings towards God or anything. It's almost like a secret sucker punch that they don't even know. But it's, I want to, how do you feel about that, actually, before I move on?
Yeah, no, that's like, I definitely have those experiences for sure, like either from other people like giving me feedback, but not feedback in a formal way, but just things they would say to me. And also I experience it when I'm around other people as well, you know, like certain other people, there's not that many, but you know, I definitely know when I'm with some people and I feel like the presence of something around, I'll kind of understand what that presence is and what direction it's coming from, whether it's like a Jesus kind of presence or whether it's like a Buddha kind of presence or whether it's like a Krishna kind of presence or whatever it is, or Mary. I definitely feel it in their energy and like, and I have the pictures of who it is that's like influencing.
Who is, I'm so curious now, who is it that you feel in, like around me? Without me.
Like Mary, Jesus, and just a bunch of other crew that I don't know. I don't know the rest
of my entourage.
I mean, I met a couple of them in a couple of conversations we had, you know, where you've like said, oh, who do you see around me now? And I describe the person, you know, the being, and you're like, oh yeah, that's blah blah. And I'm like, oh. So yeah, I definitely have that feeling around people and you know, sometimes see, you know, places they might just have been or things that they're going to do next. And then for me, yeah, people, you know, will come back and say some things to me afterwards, like, you know, about the conversation or whatever, or if I get to know them better, like, you know, thanks for being like this towards me or bringing this to the conversation or to the table or whatever. And it's an unconscious thing, you know. I think it's just like the more you walk that path and the more you soak in the presence of Jesus and the Holy Spirit, for me, the more that sort of just comes through in everything you do. And it's not, you know, it is a special thing, but it's just if you put in the time with anything, you become more of that thing, you know what I mean? And I put lots of time into my meditation, into my prayer and I talk to Jesus every single day and all the time, you know, and I feel him around and stuff like that. And the reason I feel like I can do that is because of the experiences that I've had in my life, you know, up to this point. And the reason I was talking about all the other stuff at the start of our conversation is because I see this as a pretty big conversation, and, you know, maybe we'll need to do a few of these podcasts to get the thing, everything across. And it's a stark contrast to what I've experienced in the last 20 years to what I experienced in the first 20 years of my life. You know, I won't go into that now because it's probably going to take longer than we've got. But, yeah, I'd love to share some of those experiential stories I've had with Jesus, which reaffirm his, like, you know, presence in the world and also in my life. And, I just feel super – I'm really grateful for it, and I still don't know why. why I'm in this position. I do understand it, I guess, but, like, it still feels – sometimes it feels pretty special, you know?
Yeah.
Sort of have that intimate relationship, you know?
Yeah, and I feel like, even for me, like, my Jesus story, or the first time he came in through a spirit, I want to touch on. I think we do our Jesus stories in the next one. So you're going to have to stay tuned, people. You're going to have to come back to hear the first, like, the big, powerful spiritual experiences of Jesus. There was a time before I started doing this when I was still chefing. I keep seeing the visual for it, so they're asking me to talk about it. I was a chef for like 20 years, and it was one afternoon after I'd finished work and I'd gone down for a surf just here at Allura. And I was sitting, and it was like right on sunset, and I was like meditating, you know. I was a single mom. I was out surfing, it was sunset. I don't know why they asked me to say that, maybe just as a setup, but I was really searching. I was searching for who I was, searching for my role, searching for, like, I just had, and I speak about it in the book as well, I had this like agitation that I wasn't living my life. And I'd had it like my whole life, not a frustration, not anything like this. It was just like this like faint whisper of agitation that I wasn't living the life I was supposed to, that my life was supposed to be so much bigger than what it was. And I don't mean bigger in a way of fame or things like that. It was like my life was meant to be bigger. And I was sitting out in the surf, and it was one of those like autumn sunsets where the light was just absolutely incredible, and it was like every kind of pastel, like purple and pink and blue, and, you know, there was green and orange and yellow, and it wasn't like I was witnessing it, it was like I was in the color. It was like I was sitting out in the ocean and the color surrounded me, and I couldn't stop crying. I was out there by myself, I just couldn't stop crying. I'd stop surfing, I was just like floods and floods of tears at the sheer awe and beauty of what I was witnessing. And I have to say, it was like 5, 6, 7 years ago. And I was literally, I came in and I was still crying, and I tried to take a photo of it, but the moment had passed, and it's never going to be captured the same in a photo when you're in something like that. Like, you just can't. And I realized, like, at that moment, it was like the start of like my true awakening. Like, I'd always been intuitive, I'd always, like, you know, knew what people were going to say before they said it. It was very rare that someone surprised me in conversation. It was like my intuition was just like at seedling stage, whereas now I've got like an oak forest, a hardwood forest. It was like literally just like the seedling stage. And I realized, like, in that moment in the ocean by myself, I had met God, right? And I felt the omnipresence, and I felt that connection, and I felt that experience, and it wasn't something I could verbalize. And it's happened a few more times for me, that a similar experience like that, where I'm literally suspended in color, And it feels like that first time I was crying tears that were for perhaps for a lifetime. Because it was like such an experience that I didn't think it could ever be repeated, and I didn't think I could ever speak of it. And then when I first started working with people in energy work, that's when Jesus came through. But I know that we're on a time schedule here, and I feel like that vision, each of us have experienced a feeling of that awe or that wonder or that beauty of the world. And sometimes it's solo and sometimes it's with others. But when you have it, there's no discounting it. Like, it's yours.
Yeah, it's that special. Feeling it.
Yeah, I'm feeling it. I'm right back there. Like, it's like I'm here, but I'm there. And it's only
Yeah.
literally like what, 300 meters from my house. But it's literally, I think, when I started practicing and when I started doing energy work, I questioned why I was here, like in Cronulla, in where I physically am. I was like, exactly, I should be up in Byron, I should be up the coast, I should be overseas, I should be somewhere else, like somewhere that's actually more spiritual, somewhere that is more accepting of this kind of person, somewhere that is more accepting of this kind of work. And the thing that they kept saying and they keep saying and they still say even to this day is, you are where you are supposed to be right now because we need you to bring it here. So, and I didn't feel like I was the person to do it back then. And I didn't feel like I was strong enough to do it. I didn't feel like I, but it just keeps showing up time and time again that when, and like James, I'll be completely honest, I was a rat bag. If there was trouble with a capital T, I was the T. It was like I was a rat bag. I was into it. If you had a plan, I was down. It was like, and I never was caught and I never got into trouble. And but I was like part of some of the like craziest, wildest plans that as a teenager around here. And I guess like a lot of people in this area know me, like know me as a rat bag, know me as a chef, know me as their little sister's friend, know me as like the person who taught their kids swimming, know me as the person who cooked for them or had them at a cooking class, who know me as my girl's mom, who like this area knows me. And I feel like the moment I started trusting myself that I was the person to do this, that's when the trust of others fell into place, if that makes sense. Where they're like, wow, she's lived a life. Yes, she's been kicked out of numerous venues. Yes, she's hung from scaffolding. Yes, I was there when you did this. I was there when you did this. But you've lived a life and look at you now. And so it was the moment that I started trusting my connection to bring this through that it all started coming through for people around me. So it's interesting, the thing about trust and belief, because I think Jesus has played the major role in my trust and belief in who I am.
Yeah. That's a huge mantle to be handed.
If you know this area, it
As well, just as a human, and then having all of that, you could call it baggage, or you just could just call it life experience behind you, and seeing that as your identity, for so long, and then just to be like, oh no, like I'm going to go from like black to white now, and like there's the whole spectrum of colors in between. And it's like, as a human, I know I've been through the same thing on numerous occasions, like even when I've got an art show on or got a talk somewhere or whatever, all that stuff from behind kind of is still there, and it's like not as much as it used to be, or sometimes not at all, but I know that I know that feeling for sure. And like, that's a huge thing.
Who's coming out of the woodwork with this?
When you lay it out like that, you know, like about, you know, all those things that you would have done throughout your whole life, and it's bringing up stuff that I've done too. And I was a bad kid, man. Stuff that we got up to as well, you know, I'm not going to go into it unless someone asked me one day somewhere, I would, and I'd have some stories that would really shock people. And that is why I'm still dumbfounded about some of the experiences I've had spiritually and with Jesus, and why I've really understood that, you know, Jesus was a man separate from the man-made religion of Christianity, and how loving and forgiving and accepting and non-judging, you know, Jesus is. And that was like the biggest moment when I felt that I was just like, oh my God, like I've done all this stuff and still here he is showing up to save my life. Because basically Jesus has saved my life twice, and both not from dying, but both from like probably being tipped over the edge into like depression, like real, real heavy. And the other one would probably be psychosis, being tipped over into psychosis. And I can't wait to share those stories, you know, next time we chat, because they're so juicy and I just like, they're for other people, you know. It's a story I experienced, but they're stories to share with other people, because I know so many people will resonate with them, or be inspired as well in their own lives with things that are happened to them and things that are yet to happen to them, you know. And I'm sure, you know, you've got some stories as well.
Yeah. No, I'm
at level.
Sorry, keep going.
I was just going to say, it's so interesting, the middle bit where you're like, you know, and I think this conversation I'm having with my friend on Facebook Messenger at the moment is like at a really perfect time, you know, because I keep coming back to where he's at, and I'm so happy he's where he's at, because he was the biggest rat bag of our whole crew. he was like the worst of the worst, you know. He led us into everything bad in our lives as teenagers, and now here he is, and I'm like, whoa, I'm, you know, so stoked for him. But I'm talking about the middle bit between like where I discovered like Jesus as a man outside of religion, and like, and the forgiveness and the acceptance and the love and the understanding, you know, that bit just like floored me. And I was like, wow, I can, you know, I've still got a chance. You know? As well, you know, but that bit's gone now, obviously, but yeah, so juicy.
Yeah. And there was something coming through as you were talking, and it's just stepped out, but it's kind of like what Jesus helped me with, and you're talking about the rat bag group of friends and things like that. There it goes. Thank you for bringing it back. It's kind of like what he's saying to me now is like, if you own your story, right, none can shame you.
Yeah.
It's kind of like when we hide from our story, we hide parts of ourselves, or, oh God, like, you know, imagine this, you know, takes off, or, you know, and then who's going to come out of the woodwork? They're like, if you own your story, none can shame you. And so it's kind of like that feeling where I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, I've faced my story. I know. And there's probably some stories I don't remember for good reason, but it's also but it's also that feeling of like, okay, well, if I'm wanting to connect to Jesus, or if I'm wanting to connect to that energy, if I can see myself through the eyes of Jesus, this is the beginning. Right. So maybe if you're like listening to this conversation, you're like, oh, now I'm curious. Maybe I want to connect to Jesus. You can just easy call him in. I call the energy of Jesus to me now. And what message do you have for me, or allow me to feel that love? I am here in humble service. Go to you.
Keep talking, but I gotta plug my PowerPoint in.
And so it's kind of like that feeling of, all right, Jesus, like, I understand that you're here for me. I feel you. I feel your presence. Right? And that energy there is just like, for me, the energy of Jesus is like big brother energy. That's it. Big brother. And it's like the big brother I craved my whole life. I'm sure if I had a big brother, I would have kept him busy too. But it's kind of like that energy of, he's got my back. This is the energy I've craved my whole life. That literally, like a brother figure, like a big brother figure. I have a younger brother. And if it were not for him, or okay, he's saying, no, no, no. He said, I just assisted you. It's almost like he accelerated my healing when I connected to Jesus, and he was the one who taught me safety in my body, protection, my own protection for myself. And he also taught me how to trust men again. Like, he, it was through him, through Jesus, that I was able to trust men. So it's huge.
Mm. Massive.
Huge. Yeah. No, I can't wait. So I think this is going to be a three-parter, James. I think it's going to be the next one we talk about our Jesus stories and how we experience that, like your two experiences, my one when he came through for healing, and then it might even be like direct channels from him for people listening. But before we wind up, or what's coming up for you, or what else would you like to add in?
It's like I think there's such a playful element as well with like hanging out with Jesus and stuff like that. And, you know, it's, you just reminded me of when you were talking about, you know, the big brother energy and stuff like that. I just thought of like, this prayer I say every time before I go surfing, which is almost every day. And I think we shared it one day on the beach.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, I always say this prayer, which is, you know, it's usually when I'm at the water's edge, and I'll say, you know, I'll just like close my eyes with my surfboard and be like, oh yeah, thank you, Jesus. Like, thank you for everything above me, below me, before me, and within me. Thank you for the future. Thank you for the past. Thank you for the first, and thank you for the last. And it's like, I'm just covering everything when I say that for me at that moment. And it brings me right back into the present moment. And then I'm always just like, Holy Spirit, just come surfing with me. Let's go and have some fun. And just like protect me and just like line me up with like any animals that are in the ocean, and let's do it. And then I'll just dive in and go surfing. And it's just like such a playful, protective, like amazing energy to feel just before I get in the ocean. Then I just go out and have heaps of fun and just like connect with the clouds and the sun and the waves and the people. And, you know, so there's that whole side to it as well. It's like, it's just so much. It's so broad.
Yeah, know? Definitely. He's a very playful energy. Like, humility is a big one. Like, whenever I'm feeling a bit big in my boots, he will remind me. But yeah, I agree with you. I think that's one of the places as well where I commune with him the most is in the ocean, you know. Most definitely, like, yeah, we shared that prayer together, going for a surf together. But I also, like, I'll say the same thing, like my own kind of prayer before I go into the ocean, thanking the ocean, thanking God, thanking Jesus for allowing me to be safe and within my body, and thanking my body for being able to do this. And when I paddle out, I normally sit on the horizon and just stare out. You know, I sit out and look out at the horizon before I even catch a wave. And that's like my communion, that's my gratitude, that's my, you know, connecting with the ocean and things like that. But there is this element of play to it. You know, we're here. I think Jesus encourages or allows that inner child to feel safe, you know, and that playfulness is almost encouraging your playfulness to come out. Because when a kid runs up to you and wants to play, you have that you, even as an adult, you have that like playfulness come out in you when there is playfulness surrounding you. And so the energy of Jesus, I feel like the only way that we reach higher levels of consciousness is through our own inner child energy, that fearlessness, that curiosity, that playfulness, that, you know, absolute belief in our imagination, our visualizations, our intention is pure. It's like all of that energy that you feel from children is the way that we access higher realms of consciousness. And so for me, being in that play state isn't mean that I am not mature or not focused or not serious about the work that I do, but there is always those energies that support me: curiosity, playfulness, exploration, fearlessness is the big one for me too, being fearless with this. So
yeah, that's cool. You reminded me just then, like, I know we're going to wrap it up about now-ish, but like, you just reminded me of another thing from like the Bible, which is like when Jesus says, you know, we need to be like the children to enter the kingdom of God. And I think the explanation of all those words and all those things is like, can be looked at in all sorts of different ways. And the way you just said it, it really expresses that part so beautifully, I think, and just pretty on point, I'd say. Yeah, that was so cool. It's so cool to hear all these parts of your experiences and stuff.
Yeah, so what's been the biggest thing for you, like, that you've found out about me today, other than you knew about the Rat Pack?
I love the best part, and is probably like the riding down the hill with no brakes, like, because I did the same, and I hit the gutter and went over the handlebars.
Well, then, my girlfriend went flying over the top of me, and I like skidded out and went along the road.
It was all the iPhones then to see that. Imagine like the people from their window filming you guys, how cool that would look. Because I went over the handlebars.
No videos back then.
I know. I landed on the grass and nothing happened to me. I was like, boom, whoa. And the thing is, my middle son did the same thing on Christmas morning on a scooter at the bottom of Grosvenor Crescent near De La Salle Cronulla, where I was in my later years too, and he hit the gutter, went over his handlebars and landed standing up. Yeah, so, but like apart from the brake, you know, going down the hill and all that sort of stuff and not having brakes, just hearing your, like, I guess your experiences, your deeper experiences with Jesus and, like, how they play out in your life, you know, which I haven't heard a huge amount of today, but I've seen those from just, you know, getting to know you and stuff like that as well. And like, I guess through doing these podcasts, I'm getting to know you more as well. And I hope, you know, through our stories that, you know, I'm looking forward to other people hearing them and, you know, and seeing what comes from it.
Yeah. See, I don't think either one of us had thought about that. That, yeah, we're doing this new podcast called The Deep, and we want to go deep into topics like spirituality, like surfing, like consciousness. You know, we want to talk about these topics. I don't think either one of us actually realized that we're going to learn more about each other.
Let's do that halfway through. I was like, just talking to Nicole here, having a chat. Glad we learned. You know, and it inspired me to, like, do that in other areas of my life too, like make time for people and, like, hey, line up, let's have a chat. You know, because sometimes in these formal situations, like, this is not real formal, it's 6 a.m. everybody. And, yeah, you just get to know a person a lot more. And, yeah, it's been really cool to share this space with you. And thanks for, you know, organizing it and coming up with The Deep. I love the name of it. I'm looking forward to going deeper on, like, all these different subjects. Like, I'm just so looking forward to it and so pumped for it.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting, like, how they evolve. So it might be that each subject that we do is three parts, which I kind of like the idea of too, because Jesus loves three. So it's kind of like, all right, well, think about that. If this is something that's of interest to you and you've liked this podcast, know that there is going to be a continuation of this subject, right, where we actually have time to open up and let a subject bloom.
Yeah.
about that too, that if you're listening to this and you're like, oh my God, I want to hear these guys talk about this or that or this or growing up here or surfing, or you know, there are some of the topics that I know that both of us want to cover, are things like Jesus, are things like conscious or sacred sexuality, are things like love and divine love and what that means, you know, are things like higher consciousness and how do we access it. So it's kind of like thinking about the spectrum of things. If you've got an idea or something that you want us to cover, send us a message, let us know, and we'll do our best to incorporate it. So James, is there anything that you want to finish off on, or did you want to channel a message from Jesus for me or for everyone listening? I don't mind. I'm putting you on the spot here, but I know you're open to it.
No, I guess a couple of, just give us, you don't have to give us like, give me 10 seconds.
All right. So what I would love to say just to finish off is thank you as well for agreeing to do it. Thank you for being open. You know, thank you for trusting me, you know.
Yeah, I'm just seeing Jesus with open arms and just like a little grin and just like all conversation is welcome, all people are welcome. And yeah, just that, I just saw the image of him just like this, just like all welcome and just kind of
open arms.
Open arms, it's about, I think it's about open arms and acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just love, you know, it's just love. It's love for who we are. It's love for us speaking about the topic. It's love for us opening a new way of seeing him, maybe for some people. It is, it's just pure love. And there is that bit of cheekiness there too. So yeah, I'm interested to see what the next two open up, because I think that once I start channeling him as well, but giving the backstory of how we came to this feeling, how we came to this energy, how this energy came to us.
Yeah.
Giving that backstory will just open this up even more. So I'm super excited.
I'm also aware of what you said at the very start, that this could, like, you know, trigger people, open people up, all those different things that are going to happen to the things we say. And
yeah.
I know some of the stuff I've shared and will continue to share probably wouldn't have ever been shared before, you know, about people knowing me and people that don't know me as well. So, yeah, looking forward to it. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. I would have to say the same. This is going to be a side of me that people haven't seen before. So I'm excited. So us going deep, just know that it's like we're going deep about ourselves as well. It's not just like in the topic. These are going to be, I don't want to say exposing, sharing very private experiences that perhaps nobody's heard of from us before. So you're going to have to stay tuned. And for any questions, reaching out, the contact details are below in the podcast. And if you are wanting to work directly with either James or myself, I've put our ways of connection down below too, through websites or Instagram and things like that. Thank you so much. I can't wait for the next one. And thank you all for listening, and I love you, and I love you so much, and Jesus loves you, and James loves you, and we all love you, and there's just so much love. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
See you next time, guys. Thanks.
Thank you.